Well, hallelujah to the Lamb of God as we come together again this evening for a good Bible time. Really been praying and contemplating what the Lord would have me to do for our session tonight. And I have something to share with you that I believe is going to excite you in a big sort of way. And this is on a subject of that I call simply studying war. And I've been studying war. Excuse me, let me get this Rhema rifle cleaned out here. I've been studying the subject of war and how people study war for some time. And I got into this whenever I was researching Sons of Belial or Children of the Devil. And I found them in the Bible, and I found out what they do in the Bible is that these are generations of vipers, and I found all the hardcore connections to this and found out that these guys are in the Bible. And so I began doing quite a bit of research on it, and so I have compiled it, and actually I have a book outlined that I've been working toward for a little over a year, and at least in the writing of it and the research probably goes back, well, at least, oh gosh, I don't know, some of it maybe 10 years, but in the subject of studying war, I was really deliberating on what to share over our webcast here, and I surely want it to be something that is profitable for people to know. And I recently have written an article that I'm going to be posting on our website and sending out as an Episcopos article very soon. And it is actually on the subject of studying war. And I want to read the beginning of this to you, and many of you, I'm sure most of you that are connecting and listening tonight, or even those of you on the archives, if you want to get an electronic copy of this article that I've done on studying war, it will be coming through our Episcopos distribution that we send out here from Liberated Ministries for Christ International. So you can contact our website, lmci.org, and ask to be put on the Episcopos distribution, and you'll actually get this. I took this article on studying war with me to the nation's capital and gave it to the intercessors that was there. And this is the precursor, perhaps, to the book that I'm writing, but this is at least, I don't know, 17, 18-page article. And God bless Nancy Blatnick for her research that she did. I'd say things that I had read, and then she'd go find them. And may God bless her as he does. But when I was studying Sons of Belial, I ran across a verse of Scripture that I want to read with you. And it is in Psalms, and it, I guess, is on the webcast page there, but I'm going to look up here in Psalms 140. And I was reading about attributes of violent men, sons of Belial, children of the devil. I've got a book that I've done on, and this studying war is really a part two to this teaching to show how sons of Belial, children of the devil, generations of vipers, have actually used war, studied war, and then planned and implemented war to gain control of the world. So I'm dedicating this teaching to all the individuals that think that the Antichrist is going to come out of a Cracker Jack box, that a one-world government is going to automatically appear with Tinkerbell fairy dust being spread. Now, what I'm saying is that these kinds of things are going on behind the scenes and have been for many years. Actually, when you read about the beast that was and is not and yet is, the key to understanding that is that it's a secret. It means that it was,
It means it always has been. And it is not, meaning it really is. Or it is not, meaning it really is, but it looks like it is not, and it really is. It's a secret. So the secrets of the secret societies and the secrets of generations of vipers have allowed them to gather together for war. So I thought maybe we would do some study on this, and I was prompted to do this probably by anger. And I hope it's a righteous anger. But in my trip to Washington, D.C., I had an opportunity to eat in the senator's dining hall. And I sat next to a couple of senators. And I passed by one of our notable senators that's run for president, John Kerry. And when I passed by John Kerry, I just fell and my spirit bristled up like a pit bull. And, I mean, I felt evil. And I've realized something, and when I start making statements like this, trust me, John Kerry's not the only one that I want to indict. I'd like to indict all the warmongers and people that have merchandised the blood of men and women so that they can build their kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. Well, this is one of the tricks that Lucifer used that Jesus didn't buy into in Matthew chapter 4. So I suppose in one regard, and I try to do this consciously, is to check my motives for why I want to teach what I want to teach. And I want to teach this from the perspective of this first paragraph that I wanted to read out of Studying War. This is the new Episcopos issue that's coming out. And the subtitle is They Continually Gather Together for War. Psalm 141 and 2 says, Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. So I wrote, and this is the opening paragraph of the booklet. A couple of years ago, in the midst of my research for the book Exposing Sons of Belial, I stumbled across some fairly obscure knowledge pools. From these, I learned that many of the wars and conflicts throughout the ages, which have been attributed to indiscriminate circumstances by our history books, were actually propagated by the hidden agendas of power-hungry people. In light of the scriptural truths the Lord had been teaching me at that time, a deeper spiritual understanding of this discovery began to unfold. In this article, I hope to share this revelation, in a way that will not only engender an awareness of these past and ongoing schemes, but will also promote closer scrutiny of what we see and hear through the media. And so this is a real controversial kind of article that I've written, and I would encourage you to, if you're not getting our Episcopos issues, which is for overseers, that you contact us through our website and ask to be put on that distribution. It will be coming out here not long from now. But this verse of Scripture really summarizes a lot of things when it says, continually they gather together for war. And some of the things that I'm about to share with you is so horribly shocking that you will probably be stunned. And yet, whenever you get some of these, when you get this article that we're doing in our Episcopos release on studying war, and you see the verification, documentation, the links, the research that has gone in to making some of these statements, you'll realize that these are not just conjured facts or things that's just been haphazardly or indiscriminately pasted together. But there is a pattern of evil that has existed for many, many years that children of the devil have used to merchandise people. And they use and they plan and orchestrate wars. And again, in this studying war article that I've done, which perhaps may be a precursor to the book that I'm going to be writing one of these days, I wanted to basically give you some reference points for some of the things I'm going to be saying tonight.
Now, you know, the Bible calls these individuals that study war bloodthirsty men. And I'm getting ready to just type this in here. And I'm searching in the King James Version of the Bible. And, of course, there's one usage in Proverbs 29:10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. I think it may be in the New King James where there's so many of them that's used. But the word bloodthirsty, yeah, is an interesting construct of words, don't you think? Bloodthirsty. And what is that really saying? I mean, is it saying they're vampires? But no, what it's saying whenever we read bloodthirsty is that they thirst for blood, and in the and they, for whatever reason, they desire to shed blood. Calling people a bloodthirsty man was, in essence, an equating to calling someone a child of the devil. Look at in Psalms 5, verse 6 in the New King James. It says, "You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Now, this is, abhors is a very intense word for hate. And so, you know, there's also verses of Scripture in the book of Psalms that says, "I hate those that hate thee." You know, and I hate those that hate God, and I'm going to hate those that he hates. And that's the key to being a great warrior. I've got my cause identified and my king as well. And the Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Psalm 26, verse 9 says, "Do not gather my soul together with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men." In other words, you don't want to hang out with people that do stuff like that. Look at this in Psalm 55, 23, talk about imprecatory psalms. "But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their lives, but I will trust in you." So these bloodthirsty guys are the ones that study war, and they lie in wait to do these things. And, you know, actually, I believe I had Brother Martin put this verse of Scripture on our webcast page for you to see this, where it says that we should no longer, this is Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Look at this, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. It'd be a good idea to get your hands on a copy of Dr. Dale's book on Sons of Belial and read about the phrase lie in wait to deceive. Actually, it's the Hebrew word Arab, if you care, but it is. And lying in wait to deceive is a great touchstone, and that word, I think, is used 14 different times through the Bible in the Hebrew Old Testament, to show how people wait and deceive and trick individuals. And in doing this, one of the great reasons to do this is personal gain and greed. Of course, it could be done for hatred, but and envy. But, you know, gaining and making a profit is a venture that most individuals embrace in their life. That they study to make money, or they want to learn how to make money. Well, just let me tell you now, and I'll give you a good stock tip right now, seriously, that if you want to make money, invest in commodities that's used in war. Now, that's just a good stock tip. And but carrying this a step further, the children of the devil do not just know what stocks to invest in, but then they go out and propagate and cause the war to happen. And then that would be just like an arsonist setting fire to a house, you know, because he gets the insurance or something. I mean, but this is mass murder of people so that they'll use more gasoline, so they'll use more rockets. And they plan their agendas and they actually pit one country against another country, or one civilization or against another civilization, and it's all for the purpose of money. All for the purpose of money. So if you follow the money, you'll usually, well, you will find the thief. Not that everybody that's got money is a thief, but it runs interestingly along with children of the devil, I can assure you. You know, relative to studying war, Jesus said, or it's quoted in Micah chapter 4, that when Jesus Christ rules over the earth in the millennial kingdom, that we will no longer study war. I think it's in Micah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "And he shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This is also quoted in the book of Isaiah, and is prophetic relative to the millennial kingdom that is going to exist when Jesus Christ sets foot on Mount Zion with a horde of angels and regenerated faithful saints out of the first resurrection, and establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. But until then, we will still be studying war, and it has been studied. And the great fortunes of people in the world that have been made generally have been made through studying war. Classic case, and I've got tons of them in the article on studying war. Well, I don't know how far you want to go back with this, but there's the ongoing understanding that the Rothschilds, the world bankers, and the leaders of the elite Illuminati ones actually began their family fortunes by stealing the money from, if I can remember correctly, the king of Prussia, I believe it was, who was sending money to the American revolution states for the American independence. They stole that money rather than for the independence armies of the United States to get it. And that's how they amassed their wealth, was they stole the money that was to be used during war and manipulated that. And they have been a great warmongering group of people, them along with those of secret societies and inner sanctums of individuals that merchandise men sold for this. And that's, again, why they're called bloodthirsty men. But until Jesus Christ himself returns out of heaven and establishes his kingdom on this earth, we're going to continue to study war. And actually, I do believe that there's a verse of scripture in Matthew 24 that says, "And in the end times, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." You see, the way that wars get started is with rumors of wars. And rumors of wars are the ongoing plans to make them happen. It's but we're in the middle of it. So you hear the rumors of wars because the children of the devil are the ones that start them. And this is what I want to talk to you about in an interesting study that I believe some of you college students would be interested in exploring and looking into this. There is a premise that is used by the secret societies around the world that's called the Hegelian dialectic. And it's a many-page book that was written by George Wilhelm Hegel. But Hegel was a brilliant man, and he, in fact, cast the formula for war. Now, listen to me for a second. You'll appreciate the fact that, you know, our liberating partners pay my salary to give me an opportunity to research these kinds of odd knowledge. But interesting in the Hegelian dialectic, he wrote the formula for war. And the formula for war is thesis, T-H-E-S-I-S, plus antithesis yields synthesis. And he said that this is the formula that mankind uses to perpetuate reason and the development of mankind. What thesis plus antithesis yields synthesis is, I'll give you an example. The thesis of the Civil War was freedom. The antithesis was slavery. And so when you put the two together, it creates conflict. It's just like a positive and a negative. It's nothing more than conflict resolution. But you put one side of one thing together with the negative side, and it will engender change. Now, what was so great about Hegel when he wrote this is that one of the tenets of the Illuminati is to bring order out of chaos. Now, we'll see this happen in the end times when the New World Order crashes the economy of the United States and brings chaos to the world so that the fair-haired child can step forward and claim his somewhat right to be the son of perdition. So, anyway, these rumors of wars, as is celebrated or as is described by the Hegelian dialectic, is how wars get started. And individuals of huge fortunes, etc., that has built their fortunes through this, through the years, are the major players in war. And so we can go to probably most any war you're familiar with, and I know maybe a little bit behind what was going on there, but it's generally a matter of making money, and which is why wars are done. But I'll give you an interesting scenario relative to studying war. The Bush clan, our past president and his father, and his grandfather was Prescott Bush. Prescott, George Herbert Walker, George Walker Bush. The great-grandfather of our past president was George Herbert Walker. They were all named after each other. And these are how individuals that amass great fortunes in the world, they intermarry and they keep their fortunes among themselves. You can see this with the Rothschilds intermarrying with the Leibs and the Harrimans intermarrying with the Rogers, with the Walkers, I mean. And but anyway, the warmongering that was done by the great grandfather of our past president, he was one of the major financiers of communism. Communism was paid for to be the antithesis to free enterprise. And the United States operating in free enterprise, communism was built to operate against free enterprise and therefore to engender the conflict between the two in the Cold War. Now, communism was also developed as a governmental system with the intent of killing the Christians in Russia, just as Nazism was developed as a political entity to annihilate the Jews in Germany. And so there's a lot of details that when it comes to the science of killing people that we really don't embrace being children of the true God. But when you are a child of the devil, as Cain was, who was of the wicked one, they study and fashion war. And killing people to them is part of the way that they are, the same as loving people is for you. Or at least they use people along those lines. Prescott Bush, the son-in-law of George Herbert Walker, was actually indicted by the Congress of the United States for treason for selling gasoline and oil to the Nazis, as well as to the Allied forces. So it doesn't really matter who is in the war as long as you're making money. And this is always the way wars goes. And so if a country in Africa has got a propensity for making widgets, then they can be coerced and led into war. Then they make all the widgets they can and convert them into money that they use to buy gunpowder. And if you go all the way back into the etymology of studying war, it will take you to the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch will tell you that there was a guy named Azazel, or one of his cohorts, that taught people the practice of metallurgy and making weapons. And so, anyway, studying war has been a profitable venture for many, many years. What I was going to tell you, I was going to give you a good stock tip, and here it is. Invest in oil now. The prices are down, and they're being controlled. They're going to go back up, and they're going to go way high, sky high, when a war gets triggered. Possibly, potentially, the one between Israel and Iran that everyone is suspecting to get touched off. Well, whenever it gets touched off, the price of oil is going through the roof because that's what they use to drive the machinery in war. So investing in oil would have been a great idea, which the Rockefellers did. And then they created so much of the wars and their planning just to the end of having people burn more gasoline so they can make more money. But in the process, they're killing people. And so this is just one of the ways that children of the devil manufacture ways of making money. But in studying war, this is one of the most popular ones. Let me give you another example. I don't even know that this is in my book, Studying War, but I'm just sort of talking here. The DuPont family. You've heard of the DuPont chemical family. The DuPont family also not only makes chemicals, but they make gunpowder. And the DuPont family, beginning of World War I, because of their investments in the gunpowder industry and then their manipulation to make the war happen, they walked out of there. They walked out at the end of World War I were worth over in clear $8 million. And that was a lot more money than what it is now. And by the time the World War II escalated, they're making all the gunpowder. And so you can see very easily how this works. The Kraft family invested in aluminum. Well, that's all well and good, but then in the manufacture manipulation of making war happen, or the Reynolds family and the Reynolds aluminum, so that they'd be in position to make the aluminum for the airplanes in World War II. And so this is, and in one sense, it's just good business to invest in things that you use for war. But whenever you do that, and whenever you're invested in those commodities, and then you then, in fact, become the player so that your commodities are consumed, then you become a warmonger. And a warmonger, you look it up in the dictionary, it's very simply, it's an individual that studies war to make money off of it. And they are, aren't they? They're the most despicably hated people that should be the most despised, the most cursed, the most good-for-nothing, no-down, low-good-for-nothing scoundrels. They're not just a murderer of a soul. These are mass murderers of thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of people. To think about the number of Christians that were killed in Russia, the number of Jews that were killed in Germany. You think about, for example, in the Civil War. Here's another illustration of the Hegelian dialectic. So the thesis, like I said, in the Civil War was freedom versus slavery. And so, but it's well noted that the Illuminatist Albert Pike was very instrumental in causing the dividing of the Union from the Confederacy. He set up his business in Charleston, South Carolina, and that's where the South seceded from the North, and it was largely over the slave issue. Well, and these rich empire building entrepreneurs, children of the devil, merchandisers of men, bought the slaves from Africa, brought them to the different slave trades places that they built all up and down the southeast coast of the United States, and began the slave trade, and in fact used the issue of slavery to divide the nation, to cause the beginning of the Civil War. So they created, at the same time Albert Pike was doing it in the South, they had Italian families that were sent to the North in the beginning of the Mafia to bring the pressure of anti-slavery in the North. And so this is all a matter of dragging the United States into the war for the purpose of making them borrow money for the war. And that's what they did. And really, if the truth were known behind this whole thing, they wanted to break the United States treasury. To the end, they forced them into a central bank by Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln wouldn't do it, and that's why they killed him. And that's why they also killed John Kennedy, too, because he wanted to take us off the central bank standard. And these boys play for real. They play for keeps. They're the money mongers. They're the hungry. They're the bloodthirsty men. You know, in when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, I have to share this with you, dealing with sons of Belial, warmongers, children of the devil, whatever you want to call them. But when he said to Jesus, again the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, Matthew 4:8, and showed him all the kings of the world and glory of them. Said to them, all these things will I give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Of course, Jesus told him to take a long walk on a short pier, but he said, showed him all the kings of the world and the glory of them. When I began studying sons of Belial, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it about these guys I don't get? And he said, well, didn't the devil try to buy me? I said, yes. I said, he asked me, what did he try to bait me with? I said, the kings of this world and glory of them. And he said, if you'll follow those two leads, you'll find children of the devil. Well, I followed those two leads. And you know what I found? I found warmongering sons of Belial that are planning wars and orchestrating chaos and mayhem. And they're using people as ants, as cannon fodder. They're laughing about it. I've read quotes from some of the Rockefellers that calls people serfs and you know, peasants and things of this nature. But this is the elite, illumined perspective of who you are. So if they can talk you into fighting a war, and they do it based upon nationalism. And, I was raised as a good young Southern boy in eastern North Carolina, you know, and waving the flag and taught that the great precepts of liberty that our nation represents. But I've got something really shocking to tell you, and this will really stun you. And this will let you know just how deeply devious things have run in our government and the people haven't known it. You've heard of the phrase, we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Okay? Well, that's the statement in our Constitution, I think. And but you know what? That premise right there is humanism. If it's of the people, by the people, for the people, it should be of Yahweh, by Yahweh, and for Yahweh. And so, you know, automatically, right out of the gate, we have, this is what I told the intercessors in Washington, D.C., that when I was up there a couple of weeks ago, that we have transitioned way past of the people, by the people, for the people. Where we're at right now is of sons of Belial, by sons of Belial, and for sons of Belial. And they're doing it for their own kingdoms, for the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. So I think you can see why I really hate these guys. I mean, really. And they merchandise men, and they invest in the commodities to make for war. And here, let me give you another secret on studying war. So what you do is, or what these warmongers have done is, they've invested in the industries necessary to make money. They pay off governmental officials in different nations to polarize on issues, or they actually go in and set up their own kingdom after the war, which that's one of the benefits of winning the war. You get to plant, you get a chance to start the new government and have in power who you want to. But as they have all their plans and places and situations in place for it to happen, they're more than just opportunists. They're pragmatists and they're practicalists in that they implement the war by planning an incident that will charge the people's emotions and get them to back the sentiments of entering into the war. One of the well-known incidences of this is Winston Churchill in the getting of the United States into World War I. With the sinking of the Lusitania, Churchill set it up so that the Lusitania would be sunk. And then once it was, then there was such a rush of emotionalism into the situation that it sucked the entire nation into it, which ended up costing us hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives. You know, but it was a manufactured event. Churchill set it up so the German U-boats would sink it. And the fact that there was 2,000 American passengers on it was a plan. And Churchill later on said, you know, it's just as strategic to plan something to bring an ally into the war as it is to win a great battle. So he drew the United States into the war by doing that. Just the same as Lyndon Johnson, 2 weeks after he took presidency, after Kennedy was killed, he issued a proclamation that he wanted the best military advisors put in Vietnam and that he wanted to escalate the war. Then in the bay of, if I can remember it, I can't remember the name of the bay that they were in, that they set up the destroyers to patrol there. And then they set up a fake line that there was Vietnamese patrol ships that had fired on one of our ships and killed a bunch of our guys that were floating in the water, and there was never any skirmish at all. They just went over there and blew off a bunch of ammunition, but that sucked the emotion of the people into the cause of battling in that war. And so this is the premise that I'm talking to you about in studying war. So not only are the commodities invested in, but then the issue is planned and triggered that will drag the whole country into that, into the emotion of that. You know, it's become very well known that Roosevelt had very well advanced knowledge that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor, and actually they set it up to make them do it, to force the United States into that war again for the purposes of world domination, the kingdoms of this world, and the glory of them. And the illustrations of these things continue to just keep on going. There's an interesting premise that I think I'll share with you here just in closing for the evening, that in the subject of planning war and studying war, apparently most of you that would listen to me on a subject like this must know or have had some sort of indication of the subject of the Illuminati. And the Illuminati was in fact founded and started in 1776, in the same year as our country was founded. And but in the founding of the Illuminati, their premises and their principles were that they wanted to control the world, and they were going to control the world by the use of creating chaos and controlling the banks and studying war, and was brilliantly planned. It didn't take them any longer than for about 10 years to infiltrate the Freemason lodges in Europe. And so whenever they infiltrated the Freemason lodges, they helped to plan the French Revolution, which was intent on killing the Christians out of France and replacing it with another form of government. And So this developed through those early 1700 years, the 1700s, and in the 1800s. They were headquartered in the nation of Bavaria. And one of their couriers, apparently, as the story's been told, was hit by lightning. And when the officials found him and found out who he was working for, they found out about the secret society. They found out about their plans, and they ransacked the Illuminati headquarters, and they disbanded them. And many people thought that they were completely gone away and done away with, but they rebanded in London, England, which is where the vast majority of their activities have taken place after that. But in this thing in 1840, there was a the letters that the courier was carrying foretold of the elite's plans to take over the world. Now, this is generations of vipers, of individuals that run this and do this through generations. And they had three world wars planned. And the first one was planned in Europe for population control and to kill off the Christian leaders in Russia and in Prussia. And in the process, to kill as many Christians and Jews as they could. And then the Second World War was also planned to be fought in Europe, again, for population control, but to kill off the leaders in other countries and to establish bloodlines there, but again, to kill Christians and Jews again in World War II. The Third World War was planned, and this was written and chronicled and found in 1840, before World War I or II or the Third World War that we're involved in now. The Third World War that was planned was the Muslims against the Jews, or actually really the Muslims against the world. But to use the Jews as the flaming issue. But after World War II was over, the Rothschilds, being the warmongers that they are, they just passed the dice and regrouped their pieces and forced Balfour in the British Parliament to pass the legislation to start Israel as a state, because they had planned to foment this conflict between the Muslims and the Jews. And God knew it, and what they meant for harm, God knew it, and God meant it for good. But the conclusion to the Jews and the Muslims' conflicts, if you hadn't figured this out, is the conclusion of the battle between Jacob and Esau. But these wars have been planned, and they've been orchestrated, and they've been carried on. Now, these three major world wars, but civil wars are planned. Different factions of people are killed off for different reasons, and people go to war for different reasons. The Civil War is the one that tore my heart out when I realized that, you know, we had been nothing, done nothing but just made fools of her. You know, if you really want to get mad about it, the blacks ought to be more angry than that, because, well, you know, what these elitists did was they made two white guys fight over a black guy, you know, really, or fight over, and, you know, and so, rather than being mad at the guy that didn't want the black guy to have any rights, what we should be is mad at the stupid people, the sons of Belial, that set up the whole situation, orchestrated it anyway. But this is the way they work, and I'm telling you, when you go through, and again, be a good read to reread what I did on Sons of Belial in the booklet I did, these people don't think like you and me. They really don't. And I'm telling you, when you start tracing them through the Bible, then you find out that they are bloodthirsty, deceitful men. They gather together for war. They speak with their fingers. They wink with their eyes. They shuffle with their feet. That means they give information behind the scenes. Hey, there's another verse that I had put on the webcast cover page here that I wanted to show you. Boy, this will really get you. Now, this just comes from the book of Jude. Obviously, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Bless your heart. But in the book of Jude, and if you know anything at all about the book of Jude, you'll know that it's written about children of the devil. That's what it's all about. And this is also in my book on Sons of Belial, a whole rendering, a textual covering of the book of Jude. But if you'll notice in verse 18, Jude 1, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk with their own ungodly lust. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. Now, this separate themselves right here is a fabulous usage of words. And, you know, I'm reading from the King James, and the reason I am is because it's got it accurately translated. Even the New King James missed this. And, of course, it's not unusual for the NIV to miss it. But but to separate themselves, that literally means when they separate themselves, it means they're in secret societies. Look at that. That's what it says. That they separate themselves. Sensual, not having the Spirit. Now, I tell you, these secret societies are the individuals or the groups where these elitists and globalists and illuminists and everything else are spawned and brought up out of. And the great secret of all secret societies is globalism. And they think they've got the real deal. They know the real secret. So they pledge allegiance to their secret societies over and above the national government in which they live. And that's the reason that the Bavarian officials back in the 1800s ransacked the Illuminati headquarters and destroyed it. Look, if you are a true patriot and you're a true American, which is an interesting word, if you're a true American, you should be anti-secret societies. What are they doing? What is going on within there? What are they doing in those groups? Well, I'll tell you what they're doing in those groups. They're planning and plotting something greater than our government. That's obvious, but anyway, well, these are some of the things that I wanted to talk to you about as far as the planning of wars, and please go online and get your name recorded for our Episcopos distribution, and you'll get the subject, you'll get this this article that I've done on it that, and again, Nancy Blackley did such a fabulous piece of research in this, but it will give you the understanding behind children of the devil and how they have orchestrated their actions. Hey, here's a verse of scripture about them in Isaiah 59, verses 6 through 8. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes all that way shall not know peace. You know, I guess, you know, we could look at this stuff enough to get, you know, so incensed and irate that, you know, we would march on whatever or do whatever. But there's spiritual understanding that we need to derive from this. And the book of Proverbs in chapter 10, it says that wisdom is better than weapons of war. No, I'm sorry, it's in Ecclesiastes. In chapter 10, well, maybe it's chapter 9. Yes, in chapter 9, looking it up for you here. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And you know, if we can have wisdom, then we can circumvent a lot of the things that's overtaking the people of the world. I believe that God has made us to be the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, relative to all this, let me give you some good practical advice from having read the Bible and also knowing about people that study war. You better get ready for a huge conflict that's coming over the world. I believe that the year 2012 is going to be a precursor for deception, for the real prophecies that's going to take place in the coming of the Lord after the tetrads of 2014 and 2015. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the timing of these events. People a lot smarter than me figure these things out, but I just sit back here. endeavoring to understand generically enough to give practical advice. But, you know, wars and rumors of wars is all about us. The threat of terrorist attack and motivating people by fear and coercion and all these things continually loom upon us. I would recommend that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled by spirit, or as by letter, as 2 Thessalonians 2 says, as that the day of the Lord is at hand, and that that day is not going to come except there's a strong delusion that's coming on the land, a falling away, and the son of perdition is going to be revealed, and he is going to bring huge deception on the land, and I believe that we can see this deception already that has begun to engulf us. And but you know, the aspect of studying war and planning wars has gone on for many, many years, and I believe that it's advantageous for you as a child of the King to know some of these things that goes on behind the scenes, and have wisdom in this. And so look, wars are being planned, wars are being orchestrated. Here's the real deal. I know the big war that's going to come is the Battle of Armageddon. And that's the one that we're looking for. But before that comes, if you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, well, then you're sitting fine. But, you know, I hope your doctrine holds out and that you get out on the first boatload. Because if you don't get out on the first boatload, we're all going to have to go through some hard times. And look, even if this is not the end times, historically, governmentally, you don't have to be a prophet to know this. But, you know, politically, economically, socially, fiscally, we're getting ready to go through some hard times. But, you know, in the understanding of studying war, there's going to be a great chaos that's going to be created. And there's going to be wars that's going to go on until time immemorial, the end of time, when we'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. So don't be shaken and don't be taken back by this. And, you know, our hope is not in even deliverance from wars. Our hope is in, well, it is in the coming of the Prince of Peace. But I want to let you know something. Jesus believes in peace through superior firepower. He's going to bring the angels with him, and he's going to subdue the whole world. And incidentally, I want to tell this to you, and you, now you'll know exactly how maniacal I am. But I was having this conversation with someone a while back, and we were talking about the subject of studying wars, and we were talking about children of the devil and rulership in dark places and things of this. And she said, well, don't you believe that we can take over the world now with the power of the Holy Spirit and with Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we have the ability to rule over the world now? And I said, well, yes. And I really believe that we do, if we could really use those powers and do it the way Jesus would do it. And she said, well, I agree with that. And I said, but do you know the way Jesus is going to establish God's kingdom in this world when he returns on the white horse? He is going to, at the sheep and goat judgment, the valley of Jehoshaphat, bring all the nations before him and the leaders of these nations. And the Bible says that the eagles will eat and the vultures will eat the flesh of kings, because he's going to kill the kings of the world that have committed fornication with Mystery Babylon, and that has planned wars, that's ruined society, that has orchestrated these plans of killing people and murdering them. This is one of the great promises out of the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch promises them, and this is, I think, one of the reasons that the esoterics wanted to hide it, because it really does tell the truth. And the fact of the matter is, you're not going to get by with it. You are going to pay, and you are going to burn in hell, and you are going to burn in the lake of fire for what you've done for merchandising God's people. And you know, and these people think that they're coy, they got all the answers, they live in their refined pride, they're the Bilderbergers, there's a council on foreign relations, they're illumined ones, they're the bloodlines of society. But let me tell you something right now. The bloodline of the ages is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, who has the pure blood from God. He's the only one that has the true right of rulership over this world, and he will have it. And whenever he returns, a bunch of these boys that are out there parading themselves and sporting themselves, as the book of 2 Peter talks about. There's spots in our feast of charity. They sport themselves. They act like they've really got answers. They deny God. They blaspheme His name. Well, one of these days, you're going to see them bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see that happen, either in this time or in the judgments in the ages to come. You will find out who God is, and His name is Yahweh, and He has one Son. His name is Yeshua, and Yeshua ain't Allah. And we're going to see a lot of these things develop as the wars and rumors of wars continue through the ages. I've enjoyed doing our webcast with you tonight. I may do some more work on studying war. Again, go on our website and get the Episcopos mailings or electronic mailings that's going to be sent to you, and we'll be sending studying war out here not too long. I've enjoyed our fellowship tonight. Again, thanks be to God for all the liberating partners that helped to sponsor this and pay my salary so I can study the Bible and learn all these things and teach them to you. And thank God for Martin Erb and his expertise in making these things available for us. And we just bless each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, I got a good idea. Why don't you witness to somebody tomorrow? Tell them about Jesus Christ. Give them an opportunity to make a confession about Him. I went to see my best friend from high school last week. I've been praying for him for a year and a half. And a tremendous friend of mine, my old drinking crony, my old buddy, my old party animal friend, and he is just a fabulous man now. And I walked into his office. I said, "Chuck, I've been praying for you for about a year and a half. I got a question I want to ask you." He said, "What is it, Dale?" I said, "Tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ." And I hushed, and I didn't say a word. I just let him respond. You know what he said? "Dale, I'm happy to report to you I have a great relationship with Jesus Christ. He's been my Lord and Savior since I was a boy. And I serve Him in everything I do. And I want to make a difference." He said, "I go to church faithfully and regularly, and I really love Him." Now that's, I like that. You know, so give somebody, and so when I told Vicki about this, you know, she said, "Wow, what a great thing." I said, "I gave my friend Chuck an opportunity to witness and give testimony to Jesus Christ." And the Bible says if you witness Jesus Christ before man, that He'll testify to the angels and before you and before God in heaven. So I said, "Hey, I gave him the greatest opportunity in his life to make a positive confession about his belief in Jesus Christ." So, hey, witness to somebody. What do you think is going to happen in the mouth of an angel? You need to witness to people. Be very bold with the gospel. Bless God. We'll have the right to speak it until the day we die, as long as we don't forfeit that right and give away that fear or give that fear to the enemy. So, good exhortation for you at the end. And I've enjoyed doing this webcast with you and hope that this has been a blessing for you to learn. God bless you all. I love you.